Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Lives in God, and God lives in him. What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Well, I've been gone so long, I almost forgot what it is to sit here, but I needed to come tonight. Been a long time, seems to me, ages. Well, you know, I learned a lot these 2 weeks. I learned that death can come very sudden. I learned that apparently I wasn't ready, so the Lord, the doctors managed to bring me back. But it was an awesome experience. And I think everybody's experience of pain and suffering in any way, shape, or form is an experience of God, you know. As I was kind of passing out, I kept saying, Jesus, Mary, I love you, save soul. I couldn't say it because I couldn't speak, but it was racing through my mind, you know, that even in that kind of situation, we have to pray. We have to pray to save souls because so many are being lost. And we not to, I need to know, I'll be 74 next month, is that 74? Yeah. I didn't want to make myself a year older than I am. I realize that as we are in Lent, and some of you have two people, one broke her arm this morning, and this poor woman has an accident with a bad leg. And you just look at it and you say, why, Lord? Why? But you know, in this experience I had, I couldn't ask why. Because pain and suffering, especially for some of you who seem to be chronic and seem to just have one problem after another, if you could just stop for a moment and say, it is doing something good for me. Something good. First of all, we imitate Jesus. There's nothing you and I can suffer that he hasn't gone before us. And our sweet mother Mary too. And since I was so sick this morning and half the afternoon, and I said to St. Joseph, I said, look, if you make me strong enough to do the show tonight, I'll talk about you. I hate to admit this or say it, 10 minutes later, I went, oh, he really wants me to talk about him. I don't recommend bargaining with St. Joseph, but it worked. It worked. Here I am. Ready or not, here I am. Well, I wanted to tell you about St. Joseph because he's such a powerful saint. He's patron of the Universal Church. If there's any saint we need today to bring back family life, it's St. Joseph. We look upon St. Joseph as a man with a lily in his hand. Did you ever see a man with a lily in his hand? That's only a symbol of his holiness and purity. But the man Joseph had to be very strong, very holy, called a just man, meaning he excelled in every virtue. And you can only imagine the holiness of Saint Joseph when you look at who he had to take care of. The Immaculate One and the Son of God. You know, our dear Lord prepares us for any mission we have, anybody. If you're married, he prepares you for that. If you're in a career, he prepares you for that. And St. Joseph was chosen before time began for this mission. He had to be very, very special, very strong, and very gentle. He had to have the humility to have Mary as his spouse and the Son of God as his son. We don't often realize that, you know. We think it would be wonderful to have a vision. But the reality of living, eating, sleeping, working, and the humility he had, the God who created the tree, that he sliced down to make a chair. He had to have the humility to say, "Son, we're going to make a chair." And Jesus had to have the humility to listen and to say, "Oh, is it that clever?" So you have to look at St. Joseph as a very, very unusual man and yet a very common man. I don't think when he walked down the street anybody said, "Oh, there is Joseph." No. But I'll make a bet when he and Mary and our Lord was around anybody, they didn't know what happened, but I bet they felt a presence, the presence of Jesus. St. Joseph had to have a tremendous trust in God, and that's what we need today. He didn't know what to do with our dear mother. When he realized, though, that she was pregnant, he said, "Oh, what can I do?" He wanted to protect her. He wasn't condemning. He knew he didn't know, but he would never look at that awesome one and not know something was of God. And when he had a dream and the angel appeared to him in that dream, he got it right away. No hesitation about, "Well, did I have a dream? Did we dream that? How do I know we dreamt that?" We talk ourselves out of doing God's will. You know how you do that? He got up immediately. He had the humility to have the faith that believed that even though he could not find a room for his beloved spouse that was about to bear a child, it was the will of God. And so you and I don't always see the will of God in these kind of things, do we, huh? No. We always want the will of God to be comfortable, nice, pleasurable. It's not. The will of God many times is very, very hard. So here you find a gentleman that was strong, but a man whose faith did not waver when a trial came. That's really where it's at. And for 12 years, you know, we know Joseph was around when they went to the temple. And Jesus got lost. The agony, because he was responsible for the Son of God, for his safety. and Our Lady too. And so this man has everything a man needs today. He has everything to teach you and your family how to be family. That's why I hope that tonight you'll say this prayer, doesn't it? You can start your novena to St. Joseph tonight. And I'm going to offer you these two things. I think Lisa's about to faint somewhere around here. She looks like she's around. I think she just went back upstairs. A novena, by the way, is a 9-day prayer. You say a prayer, the same prayer every day for 9 days. If you miss the right day, don't worry about it. They're not counting up there. Start today, start tomorrow. You know? He's not going to look down and say, whoops, you missed one. So, I personally like St. Joseph's that look young, but I couldn't find one. But I got one that looks old. And what's wrong with being old, right? Right? Here's a prayer, and here's a picture. There's also another prayer. Because there's not many prayer books around anymore, I thought I would offer you these two things. I'm going to say this prayer tonight because I want to start a novena to St. Joseph. Holy St. Joseph, spouse of Mary, be mindful of me. Pray for me. Watch over me. Guardian of the paradise of the new Adam, provide for my temporal wants. Faithful guardian of the most precious of all treasures, I beseech thee to bring this matter to a happy end, if it be for the glory of God and the good of my soul. Amen. This is a powerful prayer. And here is St. Joseph holding the baby, and I think, you know, in our catalog show, we try to have holy reminders. Here's another holy reminder. It's all in plastic, and you can put it in your pocket. St. Joseph, whose protection is so great and strong and prompt before the throne of God, I place in you all my interests and desires. Assist me by your powerful intercession. Obtain for me from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus. And it goes all the way down until it ends with, I like this guy. Press him in my name and kiss his fine head for me. And ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. Is that sweet, huh? Well, you can have both of these. It's an unfailing petition of St. Joseph and another beautiful prayer in the back. Say it for your family. St. Joseph is very powerful. And let me tell you about St. Joseph. I got something here. I hope I didn't leave it. We have a book we're going to advertise one of these days. It's called The Glories of Joseph. But I read this and my sisters read it. I mean, you're going to die when I read it to you. The power of St. Joseph. You won't believe it? I'm going to read it so you really catch on, but you will not believe what this gentleman did. A famous Danish surgeon finished his morning prayers with this invocation. St. Joseph, pray for us. Noticing my surprised look, he said to me, we all need this great wonder worker. That evening, I asked my host to tell me about the times when St. Joseph intervened in his life. After a moment's hesitation, he said, well, I don't like to speak about my own experiences, especially in matters of religion, but it's perhaps possible for you to make known to others that St. Joseph always helped those who put their trust in him. Listen then to something I saw with my own eyes and can swear under oath, as can the criminal who is atoning for his crimes in prison. One winter night, I took the train. I was alone in the dimly lit compartment with a large sum of money that was to be used to build a new clinic. I must have fallen asleep and dozed off. Due to the fatigue caused by my night travels and operations that I have performed, I woke up when a silent shadow bent over me and someone seized me by the throat. It was impossible to reach the alarm. I could not break free or call for help. There was a giant trying to force a gag into my mouth. I thought of St. Joseph. He had always come to my aid when I called upon him. What would happen now? At that moment, hold on to your seats, everybody. At that moment, a fist from outside the window of the train struck my assailant a tremendous blow. Pow! He let go. His eyes turned towards the glass where there was a face. The same face is on the statue of St. Joseph on my desk. Wow. The man who was crushing me with his knee cried out and vanished as though waking from a dream. I looked around. The surgeon then opened the drawer of his desk and said, "Only this gag and this razor were beside me on the seat." I had made up my mind not to say a word, but it happened that not long afterwards, the man surrendered himself and is now in prison. I thought my sisters were going to die because they thought St. Joseph pushed his fist. What a man, you know? Boy, there went the lily real fast. I thought, what a man. And there's all kinds of stories in that book one day we'll offer. But I just wanted you to renew your love and faith to St. Joseph. I was telling everybody before the program about St. Joseph altars that we have in the South. I never saw them up north when I was there. But, oh, they have whole churches, the whole steps down New Orleans especially, filled with all kind of goodies. And people come and eat, and they have a fiesta. We've lost a lot of that, haven't we, huh? Yeah. But you can start it in your own family. We need to treat the saints for who they are. They're real. They're with us. They love us. And we need to celebrate on their particular feast days. We need to put them to work. The greatest need in America today, in the world today, is family life. If you're having a problem, go to Joseph. In the monasteries, when I entered, it had a big sign that said, "Ite ad Joseph." Go to Joseph. And we need to go to Joseph. We need to accept within our hearts the plan of God to be holy, to be good, to be compassionate, to be loving when it's hard to love. When it's hard to be compassionate. Today, God needs you more than any other person in all the history of the world. Every individual is important to the Lord. Some of you have been away from the church for long, many, many, many years. You need to come back. You need to come back. There are no sins or no amount of sins you have that they're not only forgiven, but forgotten and wiped away from your soul. You need to come back. We need to know, why did God create you? Why? Was he bored? Was he just wanted something to do? No. Each one of you is so unique. If you choose not to live with God for all eternity, and you know where you'll be, no one will ever take your place. That awesome? Yeah. I like French bread. I like Italian bread too, so don't get excited, you know. But I was so sick yesterday and the day before, and sisters wanted to give me something I could eat, you know, so I gave me this big loaf of sliced French bread, about that big. However, the biggest slice was in the middle. And so I put my hand all the way through the loaf, got the one in the middle, ejected it from the loaf, and I went, psh. I'm trying to figure out why I said that now, because it escaped me. There was a reason, though. There definitely was a reason. Anyway, we have been created by God, and no one. Yeah, that was it. That was it. Thank you, Lord. You can tell this is my first day on the show after 2 weeks, and I'm chit-chatting because I can't think straight. But anyway, we're together. What else matters, huh? What else matters that we're together and that we're talking about Jesus, that he is our love, our Savior, our provider, and that grace is poured from him like rays from a sun? So many are here now, and you all have that opportunity of going before the best sacrament and just sitting there. And you don't have to think of anything. What could you tell God, you know? You can tell him your problems, or he knows them all, but, and it's good to talk to him sometime, even kind of complain once in a while. But he knows it all. He just wants you to sit there and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I want to pray. I want to say the most beautiful things, like all the saints said. I would like to make up beautiful poems and talk about sunrises and sunsets and how your providence rises before the dawn. It's just kind of empty up here. And so when you're talking to God, you know he created you special. Not a hair falls from your head. And even those of you that don't have much hair. Maybe he counts your pores or something. I don't know what he does. But you're special to him. Very, very special. We have a call. Hello.
Mother.
Where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Wonderful. And what is your question?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you that I'm so happy to see you again on television, and we've been praying for you to get better.
Thank you.
We've missed you so much. And it's wonderful that tonight you're talking about St. Joseph. My husband has a special devotion to St. Joseph, yeah, as I do. And he always says that St. Joseph isn't talked about enough, and this is wonderful that the show is about him tonight. My question, even though it has nothing to do with St. Joseph, I really need some guidance in this area, and I wonder if you can help me. I'm wondering, when our Lord said that we should admonish the sinner, but also that we should judge not lest ye be judged, when we know someone is offending God, and we bring that to their attention in a loving way, mm-hmm, where do we draw the line? Where do we stop when we know that they continue to offend the Lord? And, where do we stop there?
Well, there's another thing the Lord said to kind of help us with this. He said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. But then he said, by their fruit you know them. Oh, that is to judge, isn't it? Huh? We can judge actions. We cannot judge motives. That's a problem, see? You cannot say, oh, I know why she did that. How are you going to know why? You inside of her? You don't know why she did that. Maybe she don't know she did that. See? Now, we are to admonish our brother. While you read Ezekiel, I'll tell you, it scares life out of you, because it said if you know somebody's in sin and you don't admonish him, you don't tell him, you're responsible. See, today we have a lot of misguided compassion. Today the world is, well, you don't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah, go hurt their feelings. They're on the way to hell. What are you talking about? You don't want to hurt their feelings. You want them to suffer forever because you don't want to hurt their feelings now? Does that make any sense? It's how you admonish. And I think you admonish well. The problem is what you said. How long do you admonish, you see? Well, the Lord said if somebody has something against you, go to them. If they don't understand, go to the elders. If they don't understand, go to the church after that. Drop it. We should, especially with our children, with our loved ones, our relatives and friends, say it in a nice way. Look, I may not say it in a nice way because I'm a little bit... Anyway, I do try, though, but truth is truth. What are you going to do about it, you know? If you're horsing around, you're horsing around, so you can't say it nice. However, you could say, look, you're living with this girl, you're not married, you're offending God, and you're in danger of losing your eternal soul. Your eternal salvation is in jeopardy. So I don't believe that. This is the 20th century. It could be the 50th century. It's going to be the same. Truth is truth. What do you think? God's a yo-yo. You know, he's got a, this century we do this, that century we don't. Hey, what's the matter with you? So, we have to know. We have to know this is wrong, and you got to say it's wrong. I'll never forget, I've said it, some most of you haven't heard it. This woman calls me up and she says, oh, my husband's living with another woman. I said, in my house. What? In your house? Yes. Well, kick him out. How are you going to say that nice? You could say, well, how unfortunate, you know. Why don't you just open the door and tell him to leave? You can't say it nice. It's not a nice thing. So after I said that little, gave her that little advice, she said, oh, I can't. What do you mean you can't? They have no place to go. Well, hell is where they're aiming for. Tell them to go there. Can you believe that? You can't believe that. Can't believe that. We're so brainwashed by society and so coddled by CCD teachers and priests are religious, they want to make everybody feel good. When you're both down there in hell, neither one of you are going to feel good. See, our actions have eternal consequences. You know? Eternal consequences. If you slip on the ice, you break a leg, well, it's not eternal consequence. You're going to get better. You may be stupid for going on the ice, but it's something that you can be better, can be healed. But when you talk about habitual sin, and if you think when you get old, sweetheart, and you're bald, and everybody around you is going whoopee-doo, you're going to, at that time, dedicate your old bones to God. You may be so senile by that time, you're not going to know anything is happening. You cannot put off conversion. You can't. You got to do it now. You got to do it tonight. Some of you listening to me tonight say, oh, isn't she cute? I am not cute. I'm giving you hell. Because nobody else is. They promise you, oh, live happy today, happy tomorrow. Let's not make people feel bad, you know. We want to look with joy to the millennium. I look with joy to the millennium. There is no joy if you are not getting closer to God, if you're not keeping His commandments. God made you. He knows how you operate. He knows how you operate well. He knows what happens when you don't obey the commandments. You're going around with this free choice. Look, God gave you free choice. You make bad decisions. Those of you on drugs, those of you in adultery, those of you that live with everybody that comes along, all of you that take drugs, alcohol, the whole bit. Repent now. Stop now. Before it's too late. Oh, that's a Catholic thing to say. The church has always scared you. The church doesn't scare anybody. The church leads us to high holiness, to heroic virtue. She has a right to tell you when you're in grave danger. She is a mother. Without that, so to answer your question, sweetheart, you're doing the right thing. If you've done it once, twice, three times, then resort to prayer and pray to St. Joseph. I'm glad your husband has great devotion to St. Joseph. We have another call. Hello?
Father?
Oh. Where are you from?
Rochester, New York.
And how old are you?
11.
11. And what can I do for you?
I want to know when did Joseph die and how he died?
Well, sweetheart, we don't really know. We only know that the last time we hear about St. Joseph is at the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. And it is a wonder, isn't it, huh? Some visionaries, approved by the church, have said he died before the ministry, the 3 years of our Lord's ministry. Some say he died earlier. But I am not sure, and I don't think anybody is sure. We only know for sure that he was with our Lord and our Lady at 12. It says that our Lord went back with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. So I would think the Eternal Father would keep Saint Joseph with our Lady until our dear Lord began his public life, or at least close to that, when our dear Lord would take care of his mother and himself. And that's one of the parts of St. Joseph. It's so beautiful, the hidden life. He's a man of few words, but great action. He was heroically virtuous whenever the time came he had to be. And so it's a kind of a mystery, honey. It's one of those wonderful things when we get to heaven, we can find out. We can go up to him and say, "Oh, Joseph, how old were you when you died?" And St. Joseph was one of those in limbo that were delivered. Oh, that must have been great, you know. And our Lord went down and told everybody they were redeemed, including Adam and Eve. And they just waited till the ascension, and all these wonderful people went up to heaven. Ah, what a great day. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Hello. Where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Good.
Up at Orby, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My name is Conchita, and it's wonderful talking to you again.
Thank you.
But most of all, I want to say I thank the Lord for answering my prayers that you get well, and I thank him now that you are sitting there and doing the show. I wanted to talk to you about suffering. You mentioned suffering at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I got sick 3 years ago. And instead of getting better, the illness progressed to different illnesses. The body had just reached a point where I could not take anymore. So other problems came out.
Yeah.
And I will fight it. I will say, well, I can't fight this. I can't fight that. Well, I'm Italian, Mother. What can I say? And until all of a sudden, something in my mind said, wait a minute, there's a reason for this. And then I started experiencing certain things, and maybe you don't remember, but Mother Raphael will. And through that, I've come to realize why we suffer.
Yeah.
God loves us.
Yeah.
He wants our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Through our souls, he can do so much work.
Well, not only that, sweetheart, see what we don't understand today. We look at suffering, it's absolutely totally useless. And so we encourage people to have suicide, to, you know, do away with them. They're not the quality of life. It's not about what we don't understand is this. God has designed for each one of us a certain degree of holiness. And it's been designed by God from all eternity. Everything in your life, from your conception to the death he decides, nobody else, is all together like a giant puzzle. Every bit, even the things you thought were useless or big mistakes or whatever, failures, pain, suffering, tragedies, good things, wonderful things, ecstatic things, all together form this degree of union with God, joy and happiness for all eternity. That's why when we stop people from breathing because we're tired or it's expensive or anything else, we may be cutting short their purgatory. We may make that purgatory much longer. We may be cutting short that degree of holiness that's been destined for them for all eternity. You see, we cannot make these eternal decisions. And so you're right. Embrace your cross. It's not going to make it easier. It's not going to take away the pain, the fear, the loneliness. Whatever. That is the cross. We got to take it in our hands like he did and say, Lord, I embrace this because it's your gift to me. And when we get to heaven, we'll see. We'll see all the whys and the wherefores of our life. We'll see it all. And that's why no one has a right. See, when you terminate a birth, you have cut off a person's entire opportunity to arrive at that holiness God has destined for them. When you decide that this person's lived long enough, when you decide you have some illness now and so you're going to commit suicide, you're cutting yourself off from God. Don't do that. Trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him. See, we will pray for you, Concetta. For all of you that are suffering, you know, that we understand. Our Lord gives us light to understand. If the Son of God had to suffer, who are we? Are we better than the Master? No. We have another call. Hello?
Hi, Mother Angelica.
Yeah, where are you from?
This is Elaine. I'm calling from Canton, Ohio, your hometown.
Oh, my hometown.
How are you?
I'm fine. Well, I'm better.
Great. Well, God bless you, Mother Angelica. I had a question about St. Joseph.
Yeah.
Where is his tomb, you know, that he's buried at? Or was he assumed into heaven like the Blessed Mother? And I will hang up so I can hear your call, hear your answer.
To my knowledge, there is no tomb. That's one of the mysteries. I think it's like Moses, you know. St. Michael brought Moses somewhere and buried him so nobody would use him as a god or something, you know. We do get weird once in a while. But there is no tomb for St. Joseph. It's my humble opinion. You know, it's my opinion now. Don't say it theologically correct or not correct. Nobody can prove it. I like those things nobody can prove. It would seem to me, do you remember when our dear Lord died? Nature rebelled. You remember that? We think these storms are just ordinary storms coming around. Forget it. Nature is rebelling over the stench of sin in the world today. The stench of sin is such that nature is rebelling. And it did it. When our dear Lord died, what happened? There was an earthquake. Graves opened up, and the dead rose. I can't imagine all the dead gone back in their comfy graves. I think the dead rose and stayed risen. Because the Lord himself died an ignominious death. Ignominious death. Now, I believe, and many of the mystics who have had unbelievable visions about the whole life of Jesus believe that St. Joseph was at that point assumed into heaven. But it's not a church doctrine, it's not a dogma, it's a pious thought. Could be true, could not be true. But I would suppose, with all his holiness, his great degree of holiness, and all of that reward and merit that he must have accumulated in his lifetime, would certainly indicate that something like that after our dear Lord ascended into heaven could have happened. But the church has never, to my knowledge, made a statement on it. And I don't think they ever could, because it's one of those things we'll know in heaven. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Very good, thank you. Calling me from Massachusetts.
What is your question?
I'm a recent convert to Catholicism from a Baptist church.
Yeah.
And I teach CCD now.
Good.
My concern is that there's so many Catholics, especially those in positions of leadership, who have so little respect for the church and the magisterium. When you spoke of Joseph's humility and obedience, it made me think of this. I have bumped into many nuns, priests, and religious and lay people alike who think things from abortion may be okay, that the Pope is wrong on women in the priesthood, and that they really know what's going on. Well, coming from a Protestant church, where the individual is kind of held up as the ultimate arbiter of truth, this really drives me crazy. We have such a gift in the magisterium in the church that I don't know what to do. I butt heads occasionally with the sister who's in charge of religious education, and I don't want to create unnecessary enemies. but I can't stand it. It literally, I get very upset listening to the kind of nonsense that's going on in the church, and I was wondering what your comments would be.
Well, I would continue on doing what you're doing. I mean, some people, after you say something three or four times, you know you can't talk to them anymore. But I would never allow an untruth be taught in a seat without saying it. This is really not true, and you got your catechism. Now, if you bring the catechism to them and you open it up and says number 1430 says this, and they don't believe it, you know, you can't. They have chosen not to believe. There's nothing you can do. You can't reason with someone who has chosen not to believe. You can reason with someone who really, totally never learned, is ignorant of the truth, has never been taught, is sincere, but just doesn't know. Those I would spend hours with. But somebody who has a catechism in their hand, who thinks that their whole idea is the best, that there's no magisterium, that the liberals have no doctrine. You give me one, I'd like to see what it is. They don't believe in Immaculate Conception. They don't believe in the that Jesus knew he was God. 24 and a half, he found out. Whew. They don't believe in any of the doctrines or dogmas of the church. None. They don't believe in it. They don't believe in the Eucharist. They think it's a symbol. If a crumb falls to the floor, oh, it's nothing. It's just like our Lord disappears on the way down. See, they have no doctrine. And so they have to make up things. You got to believe in something. So they make up all of these things. And I think the best thing to do is let them alone. As far as you're concerned, if you're a CCD teacher, you teach the truth. If the others don't want to, well, then I would go somewhere else and teach it. You see, we can't compromise anymore. We are compromised ourselves out of the faith. We've compromised ourselves out of devotion. We're afraid of this and afraid of that. I fear only one person, and that's God Almighty. I fear no man. Because if they don't want the truth, I'm sorry for it. I will speak the truth. We must speak the truth. If they don't want to hear it, they made a choice. You're not dealing with somebody's ignorance. You're dealing with people who have alphabet soup after their name. They got LLDs and PhDs and ABCs and the whole bit. But they're ignorant. Educated beyond their intelligence. Educated beyond their intelligence. Now, and that's by choice. By choice. So we cannot really, not hopeless, no, not hopeless. There are some that are only delivered by prayer and fasting. I don't bother. Why? Because it's going to take a great grace from God that I hope and pray for every day. Our dear Lord will come down to the heavens and give us light. Light. We have to pray to our angel for light. Pray to our Lady of Light. Pray to Saint Joseph for light. And don't forget to keep us tightly between your gas and electric bill. This is your network. God has used you and you alone to bring it together and to spread it to every jungle, every desert, every mountaintop, every city. Everywhere there is an inch of earth, your network is going in some manner or way of communication. So, write to me. Write to Mother Angelica, Irondale, Alabama, 35210. I love you. Thank you for your Get Well cards. It made me feel real good, and I'll see you again, God willing, tomorrow night.